Chapter 4, Doors Will Open. Sometimes the universe just sends you a message you cannot ignore. I call these little winks, and I got a big one at this trendy LA restaurant where a group of mavericks celebrated my 40th birthday. Hanging on one of the walls was an actual door with the words, "Doors will open, follow your bliss." And it showed up just as I'd been intensely studying material on the hero's journey we all seem to go on. The quote on the door is a paraphrase of one of my favorite Joseph Campbell quotes. "Follow your bliss and the universe will open doors where there were once only walls." Campbell was a mythology expert and author of Hero with a Thousand Faces, studying the hero's journey and how in a multitude of cultures, this hero's story is played out over and over again. This notion of following your bliss is a bit misunderstood. It's not just total pleasure floating from one thing to another. It's closer to utilizing all your talents, skills, resources, and passion to bring your full heart into your greatest work. Bliss appears with your most unique and ultimate expression of your best self. A complementary concept is Dan Sullivan's unique ability. This is the process of identifying your best habits with the continual improvement, passion, and energy derived from performing that activity. His group has an excellent book out, actually with the same title, co-written by my friend Catherine Nomura. Unique ability is not only about something that is a strength for you, but something you love and that gives you more energy when you do it. Critical difference. You could have a strength, but you might not necessarily want to keep doing that activity. And then the ultimate evolution is not being attached to the outcome. Oof. This has been actually one of the biggest realizations I've had to add to my worldview. In the outstanding book, The Great Work of Your Life, author Stephen Cope covers the concepts of Dharma. It's a Buddhist concept essentially meaning your path or truth. My copy is massively highlighted and I couldn't recommend it more. This book is based on a 2,000-year-old spiritual text, the Bhagavad Gita, and how it applies today. Cope provides numerous examples of exceptional individuals who found their Dharma. And one of the prime examples here is, "Let go of the fruits." The exact quote from the Gita is, "You are only entitled to the action, never to its fruits. Do not let the fruits of action be your motive, but do not attach yourself to non-action." In other words, give yourself entirely to your work, but let go of the attachment of the results. All right, let me explain. So here's the paradox. By putting your full heart and 100% effort into something, you actually win. Putting in the work, if it's from a true place of meaning, is enough reward. It's only the attachment to results that creates disappointment, frustration, depression. Think about it. When you have expectations that weren't met, you're upset, right? And if you're waiting on outside praise, accolades, or recognition, you're always beholden to it. By simply having no attachment, you're free. Easier said than done, because as entrepreneurs, we are typically so intermeshed into our businesses that our identities are all wrapped up tight into whether it's a success or a failure. Our whole self-worth sometimes seems to hinge on our balance sheet, but the secret is to separate those two. Again, this is a paradox, since I've said before that evolved enterprise comes out of your true being and essence. So how do you separate that? The separation comes from not being attached to the fruit or result, but still putting your full effort in as your return. So however, this idea of not being attached to any outcomes is maybe not as fun for our right brain pragmatic side, so I was given another lesson. How do we reconcile the notion of having goals? It's true that whatever and wherever we bring the spotlight of our attention to will gain energy, grow, and show up, just like for me finding that cool door while studying Campbell. Goal setting creates some of that focus awareness on your intended course, but usually not in the way you may have been taught. Throughout the last 20 or so years, I became a serious student of success traits, and I've tried numerous experiments. I remember my first time was really exposed to goal setting was at a Brian Tracy seminar. I think I was probably 22 or so at the time. Brian had us write out our 10 most important goals we truly wanted. I can't remember all 10, but I do remember one of the goals was buying a Mercedes SLK. Now, interestingly enough, I misplaced that workbook and found it a few years later. I think something like 7 out of 10 of the goals were hit. The more interesting thing was that most of them were even better than what I originally wrote. For example, I had made more income and I ended up getting a much cooler Mercedes, an SL55 AMG. Seeing how that came together, I then changed up how I wrote my goals to add the words "or better," "or sooner," "or more" to the end of that, giving myself more flexibility around what I was working towards. However, that once again shifted. The new way to better goal setting for evolved entrepreneurs. Recently, I feel like I have an even better method that strikes the heart of what I really, really, really want. About 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote out in my journal what my ideal day would look like when I was turning the big 4-0. I wrote out some specifics about net worth, the car I was driving, what I was doing that day, really trying to capture my ideal perfect day upon reaching my fourth decade. A few weeks before my milestone birthday, I went back and found that entry. And at first glance, I was a little taken back because I really didn't hit that many of the specific goals. I told Missy about it, and after seeing what I wrote, she asked if I was upset that I wasn't quite here. I thought about it for a second and said, no. And that's because the essence of the goals were there and even exceeded. For instance, one thing I wrote down was I was driving a blue Fisker Karma. Well, I wasn't. I already mentioned that I had sold my Aston Martin a few years back and I wasn't really interested in buying another exotic car. Instead of driving a specific car, I'd rather figure out what that feeling was behind the car I wanted it to be. For me, it's about having joy and satisfaction from driving it and something that reflects a bit of my fun-loving spirit. Interestingly enough, I probably wouldn't even want a Fisker now with all the issues they had. The dollar amount I wrote in my journal was $2 million in profits coming in from various business ventures per year. Nope, wasn't there either. But what's the real essence behind that? To me, it's the freedom to work on what you want, with whom you please, and on what gets you excited. Actually, I don't need $2 million a year to have that, and you wouldn't either. I already have the essence of that goal. It's just about creating freedom from passive income or designing your business to support your most important contributions. I also jotted down some other specific goals, like giving away $5 million to cause partners. Sometimes those goals that still match up to your deep passion and purpose are coming. It's not just the right time, like a train coming down the tracks. You know it's coming. In this instance, I didn't hit the $5 million charity contributions, but we are at $2.5 million and growing. Even more when you factor in the ripple effect through our members. Once again, the essence is there. Allowing something better. One interesting goal I'd written down was that by the age of 39, I would go into space on Virgin Galactic. Well, that timing is not of my own doing. It's still happening, and I can continue to savor the anticipation. Coincidentally, or not, Virgin Galactic threw a party for 400-plus future astronauts exactly on my 40th birthday. They hosted a big behind-the-hangar doors event in Mojave right on September 25th, so that's why I was even in LA in the first place. Richard Branson had factored into my journal entry about my 40th. Here's what I wrote. In a few weeks, the family is going to Necker Island again with Maverick members and Richard. It's become a yearly tradition since 2011 when they first came. It was just reminded of that trip because Richard sent over a wonderful surprise gift for my birthday. And I have been truly blessed to do an annual Maverick trip to Necker each year with Richard hosting. It's become a family tradition as well. We invite a select group of impactful entrepreneurs each year. More details are at maverick1000.com/Necker. And Richard did send me over a surprise birthday gift by the way of a personal video that was pretty funny, actually. But even better, I spent time with him on my birthday for the Virgin Galactic event, and again roughly a week later when I was invited to a safari in South Africa to support his foundation. Amazing. All of this is something I couldn't have pictured happening in this way or scripted it out any better. That's why having the essence of what you want works. It gives you the flexibility of not being attached to how you think something will appear. I'm always in awe of the surprising new paths opening up or meeting the right person or being handed the right book that allows your goals to unfold in extraordinary and wonderful ways. The requests most of us make are for things, better car, bigger house, closing the deal, and they're not at the same level as requests that come from your heart in a deeper place. In her book, Living in Joy, Sandra Roman says, learning to receive is learning to ask for the essence of what you want rather than the form. And as you play with these evolved enterprise concepts, you'll start to develop a sense of when to push and when to just allow. There's a dance of active action and receiving, doing and being. It's that perfect point, like when pressing in a clutch on a steep hill, by exploring and experimenting, you'll find that balance of stopping your backwards momentum and shifting into gear all without stalling. And this lesson really struck for me when I was in Baja, Mexico, racing dune buggies with Maverick members. So imagine this. One of the sections had hairpin switchbacks with no guardrails, and we're about 4,000 feet above the valley floor. And to make it a little more interesting, I had no reverse gear in my car. So the turns were super tight, and I actually had to bounce the car off the side of the mountain, roll it back while pressing in the clutch, and then engaging it again before we tumbled off the side of the mountain. Trust me, you're pretty focused at that kind of moment and definitely in flow. So engage your own clutch. Pushing in the clutch is the only way to make the car really move forward from a standstill. Plus, to continue driving smoothly, you'll need to push in the clutch, shifting from one gear to the next. Interestingly enough, as you move up into the higher gears, you need less clutch. So it's a really good analogy here too. The things that keep us stuck in first gear are our own stories, habits, beliefs, actions. And your own growth and evolution is a clutch to get you moving forward. That's why the Evolved Enterprise diagram starts there. But just to clarify, this isn't some super serious reprimand to not have any more fun. That would totally, absolutely suck. The most evolved people I know are the most fun and playful. Their magical inner child is a huge part of how they live their life. Even the Dalai Lama, who has just about every reason in the world to be serious, calls himself a professional laugher. With an evolved enterprise, there really isn't much difference between work and play. Play is the path to experiment and explore the intersection of more profits, more fun, and more impact, starting first with you.